Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupo, StoneParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I'm sitting on a bench underneath a boardwalk in front of a bunch of businesses, and I've got a beautiful sunset in front of me. And I'm going to bring you the final study in our Titus verse by verse. We're in chapter 3, finishing up with the last five verses. I got a beautiful sunset. I'll post it on our Band Dweller Journal. Let's talk about and finish up Titus 3. Let's see, we're going to go 11 through 15, all right? You can go to don'tperish.com, click on the verse-by-verse tab, and you can catch up on all the rest of the verse-by-verse Bible studies there. Let's get right at Titus 3, verse 11. Paul says, "Knowing that he, that is such, is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." All right, if you remember from the last study, verse 10 talks about a heretic, a schismatic, someone that teaches or keeps false doctrine. Here Paul is saying, knowing that person is subverted, all right? Subverted, what does that mean? Perverted, twisted, turned. Yeah, that's what false teachers and people that keep false theology, that's what they do to God's word. They twist it, they bend it, they corrupt it, they add to it, they take away from it. I like 2 Timothy 2:15 where it talks about cut the word and study the word straightway, straight. And that word in the Greek is ortho, like orthodontics, where they straighten people's teeth, or orthopedics, where they straighten your feet. Straight. Cut the word straight. Don't bend it. Don't twist it. Don't make a pretzel out of it. That's what these people do. They're subverted. Paul says, in doing this, they sin and are condemned. That word condemned means self-condemned. So these people that are teaching, keeping, believing, practicing false ways, they're not keeping the truth. They're subverted. They're condemned already is what Paul is talking about. It reminds me of what Christ talked about in John 3:19. He said, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." So I've noticed, like, when people that are teaching or keeping false doctrine, when you try to correct them, even when they don't have an answer in God's word, they hate it. 99.9999% of the time, they hate it because they love the dark, because the light corrects them and reproves them. Criminals like the dark. They like to hide in the dark. What happens when the cops show up with the lights flashing? Criminals run. Why do parking lots get lit up at night? We're van dwellers. We stay in parking lots all the time. Why do they keep parking lots lit up all night? Keeps criminals away. We've stayed in some dark parking lots. It's kind of creepy. If you're not trusting in the Lord, it's a little weird, but we lay our heads good and say, "Lord, you take care of it for us." And he always does so far. He's always there watching over us. So condemnation, when they're in these lies and this heresy and this schism, Paul says they are condemned already. What's the opposite of condemnation? To be redeemed. So we have light and dark, life and death, sin, righteousness, truth, lies, opposite of it. We're to walk in all those things that exemplify our Father versus false teachers that are usually self-serving, doing things for their own motivation, maybe even working for the father of darkness or the father of lies, Satan himself. Verse 12, "When I shall send Artemis unto thee," or Tychius, "be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." All right, so here we see Brother Paul telling Titus that he's going to send some men to him, probably some other workers that are going to, it sounds like, relieve Titus there on the island of Crete. So then it says so he could go and meet up with Paul. Now, I like this, where it's talking about, he says he winters in Nicopolis. Nicopolis, it means city of victory. It was a city, a town in Mesopotamia. And I like this. Paul, this tells us something about Paul. He must have traveled. Makes sense, doesn't it? When the weather was good, and then when the weather's not good, he must have wintered someplace to ride out the season. Like the shepherds moving their flocks from the mountains to the valleys based on the season. That's what we do in van dwelling life. We go south when it's winter because there's people outside and we can be outside and meet lots of people and preach at events. And then when summer comes, we go back north again and there's more people and more events up north and more places to go. So in the winter, it's limited to a narrow place. And then in the summer and even spring, fall and summer, it's wide open all over the country. So that's what we do too. So I think that's kind of neat. Paul says he's going to winter there in that town. Let's go on to verse 13. He says, bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on our journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. All right, so Paul mentions these two men, and they may have been the letter bearers carrying the letters to Titus. We don't know, but they may have been. And the lawyer there is never mentioned again in Scripture, so we don't know hardly anything about him. Most likely a Gentile. And here we have Apollos, who was a Jew. And this Apollos was mentioned in Corinth, in the book of Corinthians, and he was also mentioned in the book of Acts. Go read Acts 18:26. He's the man that got a lot of questions answered by the husband and wife team of Aquila and Priscilla, however you want to say that. Acts 18:26. Yeah, they ministered to him. It's the same Apollos, and he obviously was doing works with Paul going on in the ministry. He's mentioned in various other places in Scripture. What Paul is saying here to the Titus and to the people in Crete, he's saying, make sure their needs are met. That's what he's talking about, making sure their needs are met. And then he says in verse 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All right, let's talk about this. So Paul goes into works and fruitfulness. This is a pattern we've seen all through this small letter of Titus. Go back and look at Titus 1:16, Titus 2:7, Titus 2:14, Titus 3:5, and Titus 3:8, and now Titus 3:14. Good works, good works, good works. Yeah, that's the call of true believers. It's the fruit so that we're not unfruitful. It's the fruit that we're born of Christ, right? He says to maintain. This means to preside, to practice over. So we're to be practicing for good works. I like that. It's not something you do once in a while. You know, I've dealt with a lot of men that want to go out and do ministry. Let me tell you a quick story. A lot of men that want to say, they say they go out, they want to go out and do street preaching and ministry, and maybe a weekend, and then they're like done. And they think it's over. It's kind of like a once a year thing maybe. And then, you know, start an online website. And then every day I got to add to it. Or I got gospel cards. You mean I should be looking to hand them out all the time? Or preaching the gospel? You mean I got to share the gospel with people all the time? I literally have men saying this to me. It's like men that are claiming Christ, many of them I don't think truly are born of God. They end up debating whether they should keep doing good works. That's like being married and deciding, should I be a good husband all the time or just once a year? Or being a parent. Should I take care of my kids all the time or just, you know, once or twice a month? How ridiculous. God is worth and worthy of so much more. Paul has given us this admonition in this letter. He does it in other ones as well. Good works, good works, good works. And then he says necessary uses. I think this is pointing to the needs of these men, but also in general, it's to be about the works that people do, believers, in their lives that are needed in the body of Crete and with anyone else that they might find a need about. Peter speaks of this in a similar way, 2 Peter 1:8 and 9. For if these things be in you, you abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lack these things is blind, cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Hey, that goes along with, I didn't even realize that. That goes along with what I was just talking about. These men I was just telling you about that fight for not doing good works all the time, what does Peter say about them? They lack these things. They're blind. They can't see far off. They can't see very far. They can't see what they should be doing. And they've forgotten that they've been purged from their old sins. Hey, what did you used to do with all your time? Watch TV, sports, getting into trouble on the internet, getting into trouble out in the world. Now what are you supposed to do that you've been purged from your sins and transformed by the gospel? Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, repentance to him, the new life he gives us by the Spirit. You got to walk in holiness and obedience. That's good works. And endure. Have you forgotten about that? That's your call? Yeah, that's pretty interesting how it says that. And then our master Jesus says in Matthew 22:40, He tells us to love our neighbor as ourself, right? The second great command. And then we're also, because of like parables of like the Good Samaritan, we're supposed to be willing to help the neighbors around us. So if you see someone that has a true need, they need to be clothed, they need to be fed, they need medical attention, be discerning. We see homeless people all the time begging for money. Don't give them cash, they're gonna go buy drugs. Don't give them cash, they're gonna go buy alcohol. Don't give them cash, they're gonna go buy cigarettes or porn. It's true. What you do is you give them the gospel, then you find a way to feed them if they're hungry, buy them a gift card to McDonald's or somewhere where they can't buy anything but food with it. Don't do it at Walmart. They'll be buying liquor and all kinds of stuff with it. These men are caught up in their vices. Most of them that I've ever dealt with, every single one of them out of thousands I've dealt with, most of them want to stay right where they are, on the street. And so don't give them cash. Love your neighbor. Give them the gospel. Meet their needs. Call them out of that life. Tell them you'll help them or hook them up with places to help them. I promise you, you won't have people beating your door down if you offer to help them, because I've never had one well-meaning homeless man, beggar, ask for help to get off the street. All they want is cash to feed their habits. Because guess what? Most people give them cash and they can live on the street, make $100 a day. I've heard up to $200 or $300 a day. Feed their dirty habits. They don't have to work and they can lounge around and be lazy sluggards. Sorry. That's the beggars in America. Now, in third world countries, I'm sure there's people starving along the roadside. That'd be a totally different situation. I'm talking about America and organized cultures, not third world countries. But anyway, I'm getting off track there. So we're supposed to love our neighbor. And so we want to make sure that we're always doing good unto our neighbor, but do it with great discernment, okay? Absolutely. And that's what Paul is talking about in that verse. Make sure he's talking about necessary uses. And then we have verse 15 to finish out. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. All right, I like how Paul ends this. It's a general salutation from the believers that are with him, all right? And the salute, right? So what that means is welcome, joyful embrace. I like that. They salute you. It's a welcome, joyful embrace according to the word of God. It reminds me a lot of like the holy kiss. That was like a cultural practice that they had then. And today in many cultures, that would be similar to handshakes or a hug, okay? And so he's saying to greet them that love thee in the faith. I think that's an interesting statement. Greet them that love you in the faith. Well, let me read it. It says, greet them that love us in the faith. So this is a special group of people that are honoring the believers. And it kind of reminds me how Paul makes a distinction between those that love us in the faith. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So we do good to everybody. We'll help any neighbor that has a true need. But Paul says, especially to those in the household of faith. So what that shows is that even from a far distance, by this greeting, believers can encourage, edify, if it's their heart to do so, care for each other, look after each other, send salutations, right? This is awesome. Today we see such a lack of love of true saints. You know what we see? We see either total superficial fellowship. People get together a couple times a week. They hug each other. They have coffee and donuts. They might share a meal. They sing some song. They listen to a sermon. And then they leave and go about their own life. And everything's hunky-dory, but they're not really involved in the minutiae of each other's lives. They're not holding each other accountable. They're not walking in daily one anothering. They're not growing in their holiness. They're pretty much compromise worldly people like churchianity. And then the other side is you have cult groups that add all kinds of man-made false ways onto people that aren't in scripture, and they control, they dominate, they create a cult-like atmosphere. They force everyone to eat together. Women sit here, men sit there, do this at this time, stand up, sit down, sing, pray. So we see this whole different dichotomy of people. And then we see people that have come out of churchianity and come out of the culture. So you'd think, okay, they're on the right path, right? They even sometimes have the biblical gospel. And then what happens is long distance. I just did a teaching on long distance versus face-to-face fellowship. Long distance, it's easy to throw people away. If you're cold-hearted, it's easy to throw people away long distance. And what we see is what Jesus said, there will be a lack of love in the last days. We see that. biblical, true love for each other. Care, concern, edification, exhortation, yes, rebuking. We see that so lacking, and I like how Paul ends this here. We do know a handful of saints that do it every day. They do it faithfully, and we love them dearly for it. They're so rare, precious like rubies. Yeah, Jesus said, few, a puny few, are going to enter into the kingdom. That is so true. By the evidence we've seen over 15 years, trying to be Bereans, striving in the Word, the culture's lost in their own false ways, and churchianity is lost in their own false so-called Christian ways. And then you have the true remnant set apart, striving for the kingdom of God. That's what we want to be part of. So that ends our Titus study right there. We're going to move on to another book. I don't even know what book yet. I'll pray about it. And we're going to move on to another book and just keep going. I hope you've been enjoying listening to these as we've moved through different books. You can go to don'tperish.com, click on the verse by verse tab, and you can get caught up on all the other teaching audio series I did verse by verse. Then go check out the gospel. Make sure you're following Christ biblically. And then also check out all our thousands of resources, all kinds of stuff for ladies, from Sister Amen, street preaching, videos, audios, articles, witnessing sessions. We got thousands and thousands and thousands of resources. Why do I say that? I'm not telling you that because I'm boasting about us. I'm telling you that because Christ has called us to preach the gospel, to teach and make disciples, and to call out false religion so that our neighbors aren't stumbling. We've been doing it diligently, and he's given us the way, the power, the spirit, and the truth to do it. So we want you to know about it, and we want you to be edified, and we want you to share it with other people if you think we're doing it biblical. Test us to the Word of God. Go there and be edified. Till next time, thanks for listening. Go out and have a joyous day, lifting up Christ crucified in the streets. May God be praised.